are starting a new series tonight. Who's excited? Woo! Everybody like Jonah last week or last month? I guess I should say. Jonah was a good series. We had fun. Talking about Job. Who said that? Job. Job. Ty gets it. Who in their life has ever called it job? Many people. So you're not alone. Nobody Spencer still does. Spencer. Huh?
Nobody else raised Spencer. No, I didn't, because you said Spencer.
Everybody else raised, well, not everybody, but a lot of people raised their hand. Kisha raised her hand. Have you ever called Job job? So there. You're not alone. Close encounters of the third kind. I'm no English teacher, so it doesn't matter. All right, we're going to be talking about greater. This is a series. It's going to be all over the place because it really doesn't make sense. Greater. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Who's greater? God is greater. And pretty much you could go throughout the whole Bible, read every story in the Bible, and say, oh, God's greater. So that made this kind of month kind of tough to fit into 5 weeks, let alone 20 minutes each week. Mr. 100 minutes? Yes. I'm trying to catch my breath and get my mind set on what I'm supposed to be doing. All right, let's open up to John 2. Not in Job. Somebody got me off on Job and distracted me.
Yeah, you got yourself up on Job.
No, somebody said it. John chapter 2. Not 1 John, not 2 John, not 3 John. St. John, that one works. So John 2. If you don't have a Bible, it's cool. It'll be up there. John chapter 2. We're going to look at the first two verses real quick. John chapter 2, verse 1, here we go. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Alright, we'll stop right there. What do these two verses do? They set up the background. What are we talking about? Where are we at? That's what it's saying. So, we're at a wedding. Jesus' mother, Mary, is there. Jesus and his disciples are there. Shouldn't have put a mint in my mouth. So, Jesus is probably walking around with his diet slice, hanging out. There's a party going on. He's got his disciples there. They're probably sitting over at the table, like the cool kids. And they walk into the cafeteria. You see the cool kids right away because they're the most loud, just messiest people there. You see paper airplanes flying everywhere. And then you got the not so cool kids section. That's where I sat a lot of times. They drink diet slice. I've been on a thing about diet slice lately. I don't know why. So Jesus is going to have diet slice with him tonight. So they're at a wedding. Mary's there. Mary, although Jesus is Jesus, she is still Jesus' mother. So let's see what happens. Verse 3 goes on. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus, Mary, said to him, they have no wine. So whoop-de-doo. Mary comes up to Jesus. They're out of wine. No wine left. They need more wine because the party ain't over. And they need more. So what does Jesus say? Verse 4. It says, and Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come yet. Okay, thought I said yet twice. My hour has not yet come. I did, didn't I? Yeah. Sorry. So basically, Mary walks up and says, guess what? They're out of wine. Basically, insisting, you need to do something. Because they're in trouble. Jesus. What's that got to do with me? Nothing. It ain't my time yet. It's like somebody coming up to you and saying, the school's on fire, but it's Saturday. I'm going to sit here. Who would say that? Maybe during a weekday, we'll do something about it. Come Monday, I'll run after it with a cup of water. Tuesday. I got school Tuesday, so my school will be saved in time. Tell it. Fourth floor. It might be the first to go. Fourth floor. We got three different buildings, so we'll be all right. So, do what? A lot of money, yeah. So there's a little bit of a conversation going on here between Mary and Jesus. And Jesus pretty much says, and what's your point? So what does Mary do next? Verse 5. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Can't read, no wonder. So what just happened? A lot of blank stares. Basically, Mary just became one of the very first people in history, not people, the very first ladies in history to give the look. Jesus says, what does that have to do with me? You get the look, and she just moves on. She doesn't even fight him. She just says, hey, whatever he says to you, do it. And walks off. She's done with it. So basically, I think the only time ever in history, Jesus just straight up got the cold shoulder. And the look. All in one time. I know, it's terrible. Mary just walked up and said, and, just do what he says. She ignored him. Why? I know you're all thinking, oh, that's kind of funny. Jesus in his diet slice probably slammed it down and was like, what's up? No, I don't think Jesus did that. But. Paint a picture. What's the importance of this little part of what we just read? Doesn't seem like any, does it? Do what your mom tells you. That's important. When the look is coming, everybody does what they're told to do. Mary didn't stand there and argue with Jesus and say, hey, you need to do this, or try to bargain with him and say, if you do this, I'll take you to get some candy afterwards. You know? Although, granted, Jesus is a little bit of a grown man right now, so would have been like bottle rockets or something. She could have bought for him. Lollipops. Xbox. There it is. Xbox. She didn't stand there and bargain with him and try to plead with him to do it. What does Mary do? She does something that most people nowadays can't ever do. That we don't ever take this seriously. Because she said, hey, this is what needs to happen. This is what I would like to see. This is it. This is the issue. She puts it out there. She says, can you take care of this? And then she lets it go. How many times in our lives do we have these issues? We put them before God and we say, hey, can you fix this? And then once something starts to happen, I don't think you're doing it right. I think it should look like this. Or it should be over here. We try to put our spin on everything. Because, let's face it, we think we know what's best. I'll stay over here. So Mary puts this issue out before her. Gives it to Jesus. And then what does she do? After she has released it. She tells the servants. She gets ready for him to do it. She doesn't just stand there and say, oh, I hope this happens. Let's sit back and watch. Do a trick. No. She doesn't do that. She tells the servants, whatever he says, do it. If he says, just stand there with the pot and don't do anything because I'm not going to fill it up, That's what they'll do. She doesn't say, get ready, because he's going to do something awesome. She says, whatever he says, do it. She releases her needs to Jesus, because she knows that God fulfills all that we need. Everything that we need. Kind of deep. I know, I never looked at the story that way. How many of you have heard the story of the crop guy or the farmers with their crops? And how they prayed for rain. One went out and planted the seed, the other one didn't. And when the rain came, guess who had the better crop? One who planted the seed. Yes. It's the same situation here. A little bit of a different picture. There's diet slice involved. Sorry. I'll stop. So Jesus, not necessarily ready to do these things, is prompted. Because why? Why is he all of a sudden prompted to fulfill these needs? Do what? His mom gave him the look. She humbled herself. She said, only you can do this. I give it to you. My hands are wiped clean of it. How many of us are facing an issue where we just can't seem to do that? Where we still have issues that we want to give it to God, but our definition of giving these things to God isn't quite what is shown right there. It's not. Because whenever we look at it nowadays as, oh, I'm giving this to God, we look at it and we say, hey, I'm giving it to God. Sometime he'll eventually realize, I got my little fishing hook lined up to it, and as soon as he doesn't do what I want to see, we're bringing it back. And it's okay to be like that because everybody's like that. But then do we find that okay? Because we just say, everybody's like that. As we look at the rest of the story, it says, verse 6, now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. Verse 9 says, when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and he did not know where it came from, the servants who had drawn it knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But she kept the good wine till the last. You know we're going somewhere deep with this one. What did Jesus just prove? He didn't prove exactly that. Whoa, he can make magic happen. He did turn water to wine. It is a miracle. It is awesome. Something I can't do. I've tried. Fill up a little pitcher there. Pop a blood vessel in your head trying to. Doesn't work. He just proved that whenever we turn everything over to him, when we give it all to him with no restraints, he makes it all so much better than you would have ever realized. When we try to keep our little stamp of approval on things instead of going exactly with what he wants, that's when you get the, it's okay. But it could be better. That's whenever we make ourselves settle for less. Who in here has ever felt like they have settled for less in anything? God can make everything perfect in His own time, in His own will. And when we try to force Him to do things, we're a little bit smaller than Him. I think He can take us. It's probably a little bit like old Toddy Cobbert here, standing in front of a rhino, going into a headbutting contest. I think you're going to lose. Even if it was a baby rhino, I think you'd still lose. Did he say a giraffe?
I think so.
So what are we holding on to today that we won't quite let go? That we won't say, hey, take care of this in your way. Not, hey, this is what I needed to do. Here's the steps. Shopping list for what you need. What are you holding on to today? Who in here believes there's something in their life? You don't have to tell me what it is that they're holding on to, that they're not giving over, that we are not giving over. Anybody? Who? So who did we really just learn from? Jesus or Mary? A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Mary teaches every woman, you have power. Give him the look. I don't know how it goes. I just see it and it's like... God is so much greater and He makes things. Everything of Him is so much greater than anything that we could do on our own. Each and every single person here has tried to do stuff on their own at some point. Right? We've said, oh, we'll call you out in the ninth inning. We got this one. We're going to put you on the bench, and as soon as old Jimmy over there breaks his leg, you're in. Old Jimmy breaks his leg. Jesus! Go on in there. It doesn't work like that. Surrender it to God. Because He's so much greater. So much greater. And this whole month, we're going to be talking about how much greater He really is. Not just with how He can make all these things happen. Not just with how He can produce miracles and He can change lives, but with how He can take some of the most darkest things within each and every one of us, things that we don't like, we don't want there, and He can rip it out and make you a new person. Because He is indeed greater. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. God, we come to You tonight and we pray, Lord, that You just reveal Yourself to us within this series. God, that we don't just look at the things that You did and just write it off as something cool, but we really explore everything that You've done. God, that we really dig in so that Your truth can settle in. God, so that we can see just how great You really are because of what You've done. God, for right now, for every person in this room that feels like they're up against a wall and they just can't get free, God, I pray that you grant them that freedom, that you give them that deliverance that they need, that they're seeking, God. And it comes only from you. God, we worship you. And we thank you so much for giving us the ability to come here, spend this time together seeking you. In Jesus' name, amen.